The following program, Chicago's Weekend Wake-Up Call, is sponsored by the Digital Wellness Center and, to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
Welcome back, everyone, to another enlightening episode of Digital Wellness, your go-to destination. Funny, I can't say destination this morning. Destination for unraveling the mysteries of modern living in the digital age. I'm Dr. Mary Donahue, and you just may have heard my voice on the Inclusive Radio Show with Pam McElvain. Now, on our show, joining me, as always, is our trusty associate producer, Richardson. Today, we're going to dive headfirst into the swirling depths of digital exhaustion and how understanding generational triggers can illuminate your path to clearer decision-making. Most people don't even realize they're digitally exhausted. That's what my research has indicated. So we're really going to get into it today, Rich.
Absolutely, Dr. Mary. It's always a pleasure to be here once again, exploring these critical topics that shape our daily lives in such a profound ways. Digital exhaustion is something that affects each and every one of us, whether we realize it or not. From the constant barrage of notifications to ever-present pressures to stay connected. It's no wonder so many of us are feeling overwhelmed and fatigued. So, for our listeners, give us a call or text us at 773-763-9278.
Thanks, Richardson. And I'm glad you're inviting people to call in or text in today, because what you just talked about is this idea of being so tired every single day. And I'm not sure if any of you listening to us, or if you're going to listen to us in podcast form, really realize how tired you are. But today we're going to delve into the neuroscience behind exhaustion and examine all the unique triggers that impact different generations. Each of you know you're a different generation, but most of you probably don't know your digital anxiety triggers. You don't understand your digital exhaustion triggers. And that's what I'm going to help you with. I've specialized in this. And for my last book, I researched over 34,000 people. I asked them questions. I interviewed them. And we got a ton of answers that we're going to share with you today.
Absolutely. So whether you're a Gen Zer struggling to find balance in a world of endless distractions, or a baby boomer feeling the weight of constant connectivity, stick around. We've got insights, strategies, and real-world stories to help guide you on your journey towards digital wellness. So without further ado, Dr. Mary, let's dive in. And don't forget to give us a call or text us at 773-763-9278.
So let's talk, before we do anything else, let's just personalize this. I'm going to use the name Dan. This is a pseudonym for a bright young man who found him ensnared in the grip of online gaming. And I talk about Dan in my book, Digital Addiction, what is it and how one brother and sister dealt with it. And Dan was this bright young man, early 20s, who found himself ensnared in the grip of online gaming addiction. So picture this. He was a promising pre-med student with a passion for gaming. But gradually, he succumbed to the allure of the virtual world, and he spent countless hours glued to his screen. Anybody who has game before, any game you have played, if you play, what did we talk about last week? War of the Worlds?
Call of Duty.
All of these games. Yeah. All of these games. Understand exactly what we're talking about. And, you know, in pre-med, you can't really be spending that much time on your screen.
This situation sounds very, very familiar. So how did Dan's excessive gaming impact his brain?
Well, as Dan dove deeper into this virtual realm, and I'm not going to say what game he played, but, you know, we did talk about a number of them last week. His brain started to undergo significant changes. This constant barrage of stimuli triggered a surge of dopamine, a constant surge of dopamine, flooding his reward circuitry in his brain and reinforcing his addictive cycle. Each victory in the game provided a temporary high, and that compelled Dan to play more games and to replicate that feeling. The same thing happened to my brother when he was playing gambling on football on Thanksgiving, and I talk about that story in the book as well.
So Dan was his brain was wired for gaming. That's what it sounds like, right?
Well, I don't think his brain was necessarily wired for gaming. It was wired for dopamine high. There's a great book called Dopamine Nation I also highly recommend. But what began happening is he began craving that high dopamine. And you can get that high dopamine from wins and losses. Like when you have a gambling addiction, that's something most people don't realize. It's not just about winning. It's that feeling of a result. Wow. And so what was happening in Dan's neural pathways became his neural pathways became increasingly attuned to instant gratification. Now, the same thing happened to my girlfriend when she became a fashion influencer on Instagram. So it's not just gaming or gambling or any of these things that cause this. It's also this instant gratification. And unfortunately, what that led to and what that leads to, and you can look at the story of any of these social media influencers, they all spiral down because you neglect other essential aspects of your life. And as his screen time escalated, so did his digital exhaustion. And that left him feeling drained and depleted. So he wasn't feeling up to going to class. Maybe he just tried to go to class virtually. Maybe he just tried to read the slides. I won't tell you exactly what he did, but from those two examples, you can begin to get a sense. In the book, he identifies it as he just blew off school and did the bare minimum.
That's interesting. So in a way, you're kind of showing us how he recognized the problem. But it's very interesting to understand how can people understand that they have that problem?
Well, Dan came to realize he had a problem when he got a wake-up call. Because, you know, his body started experiencing adverse consequences from this habit. Now, when you play Call of Duty, Richardson, what are you doing? Let me just ask you, what are you doing?
Just playing, I guess, killing other players.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you sitting? Are you physically sitting on your butt?
Yes. Yes.
How do you eat? Are you eating like an apple, a banana, or are you reaching for Doritos and a soda?
Oh, gosh. Maybe sometimes nothing, but most sometimes eating Doritos, junk food, anything quick.
Anything quick, because you want to stay in the game.
Yeah.
All right. So how does that affect your body? It's like you're putting the wrong gas in an engine. Your body just starts to slow down and your joints and everything start to seize up. And what also begins to happen is you have chronic anxiety. So what happens is your brain constantly thinks you're in fight or flight. And so you're always nervous, you're jumpy. And this caused his grades to suffer. He began thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail. Okay, I'll just study like 7 hours straight. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to do this. But because he wasn't sleeping, because he thinks he had to study, and then he became anxious if somebody sent him an email that seemed to him to be negative, like his brain wasn't working. His relationships became strained. That's what anxiety does. It strains your relationships. And then his physical health started to deteriorate. Because if all you're doing is, like, I'll use the example you just used, killing people, sitting there eating Doritos till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then trying to, like, pretend you're a pre-med student. Well, no, that's not going to happen. And, you know, he failed. Professors aren't going to say, oh, I'm so sorry you are have this gaming habit or this gaming addiction. I'm going to let you have an A. So they're not going to say that. University is competitive. They don't care about you. They can replace you in a nanosecond. So Dan realized this, and he realized he had to make a change.
So,
and so he began to say, like, look for some help.
Mm-hmm. So what steps did Dan take to take a break from this cycle of him playing and the digital exhaustion? What steps did he take?
Well, first I want everybody listening to experience. My guess is over 82% of you are experiencing digital exhaustion right now based on the data.
Mm-hmm.
So that means 8 out of every 10 people you're going to meet this Saturday are tired. And they're constantly looking at their phone. If they're standing in line, they're looking at their phone. If they're at a red light, they're looking at the phone. If they're in a relationship and they're talking to that person at dinner, they're looking at their phone. Or if they're not looking at their phone, they're taking a picture of their phone. All of us have an issue. Very few of us step away from our phone. You know, I always like to say to people, step away from the phone. So what I said to Dan is, step away from the game. Even if it's just one less hour. So I had Dan time how long he was spending playing this game for a week. How many hours in a week are you playing this game? And it was a lot of hours. Let me tell you this right now. And so what I started to look at was this concept of positive deviance. Everything our brain experiences on digital is perceived as negative 90% of the time. So when you get an email, you automatically think it's evil. And you have to try and shake that from people. I try not to answer right away. I try to go back and think about it and look at it and really see where I'm getting this wrong. And it's usually in the tone or the body language. In terms of gaming, what I've seen of people, especially young men playing together, it's incredibly competitive. And you get into that, you know, smack talk. You get into a lot of that stuff when you're playing online. But is that really good, or does that put you in constant anxiety because you want to win? You want to prove how good you are. So positive deviance is adding a little more positivity in your story. So we use micro breaks. Micro breaks totally designed for Dan's generation, which was Gen Z. And he began to seek some professional guidance, and he implemented a series of micro breaks, of conversations with counselors to reclaim his well-being. He also owned up to his professors and said, yeah, so looks like I'm going to have to repeat this year, but I want to stay in the program. And because of his, you know, his clarity, they let him stay in the program. I'll be interested to see if he, as he goes on in med school, if he does any psychiatry or psychology. But by incorporating micro breaks into his daily routine, he leveraged tools like MyStride.co. He learned to regulate his dopamine levels and cultivate healthier habits. And that was the whole purpose of our design of MyStride, is to let your mind have a healthier life.
Wow. Dan's journey sounds like a testament to not only micro breaks, but his human spirit too, because he understood that he needs to get better mentally and clear his mind up so that he can continue to succeed.
Well, I mean, and it took almost losing a year's worth of college.
Oh, man.
And any loans he had with that. Like, if he would have gotten kicked out of school, he would have had to pay back his scholarship money. He would have paid to everything. So there was this, like, there was definitely a stimulus that all of a sudden propelled him to realize in February that he had lost his year because he had so much time to game. It wasn't like his mom could come into his room and say, put that game down.
Yeah.
You know, he's at college now. So why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, let's, you know, we've talked about the neuroscience. Let's talk a little bit about its prevalence and impact on people today.
Oh, sounds good. Can't wait for that.
Are you ready to hit your stride and to turn those frowns upside down? Say hello to mystride.co, your ultimate companion for conquering bad moods and transforming them into pure positivity. Imagine receiving uplifting emails 3 times a week, filled with personalized tips and tricks to help you navigate through life's ups and downs. With mystride.co, we've mastered the art of gamifying your mood, turning those gloomy days into opportunities for growth and joy. Harness the power of our magical formula, designed to guide you towards a brighter, more fulfilling day. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1. Open your inbox and discover your personalized mystride.co email, packed with practical strategies to overcome any obstacle in your path. Step 2. Embrace the challenge and put our tips into action, turning each setback into a stepping stone towards success. Step 3. Watch in amazement as your mood shifts and those clouds of negativity are replaced with rays of sunshine and optimism. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who are already experiencing the transformative power of mystride.co. So why wait? Sign up now and take the first step towards a happier, more resilient you. Visit mystride.co now and start your journey towards greatness.
Well, I do like that little commercial, but I think we have to realize the reason we founded mystride.co was because of digital exhaustion during COVID. And I really want everybody to listen to this. I know it's hard when you're driving or you're running around or you're having your cup of morning coffee, but think about digital exhaustion in your life. For those of you who are my age, which is Gen X, were you this tired pre-smartphone? Were you working as much as you are now? Your boss can reach you at any time with a smartphone. And so one of the things I'd like to help you begin to do is check your digital exhaustion levels and understand how you can assess your own levels of fatigue. If you're experiencing fatigue, feel free to call us or text us at 773-763-9278. Again, 773-763-9278. And so when we begin to look at digital exhaustion, we really have to begin the process of self-identification.
So, Dr. Mary, can you elaborate on the concept of digital exhaustion and how it manifests into our lives?
Absolutely. I think what we have to look at is, first of all, just think of your brain. Your brain is brilliant. It's grown to 3.5 pounds over the last, 2 million years since we've been around. But that's 2 million years. And then if we begin to look at the introduction of language, language was first introduced as symbols. And language then developed, and it developed into an alphabet, and then language, and that was the written word. However, the verbal word has been through body language and body tone before the introduction of language, historically. And so that's how our brains have been processing information. And, you know, if we trace it back, we all have the same process in our brain. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're male or female. We all have the same developmental process of the brain. That's the physiology of your body. But what we don't understand is the prolonged exposure to digital stimuli that's only been around since the advent of the smartphone. I think Steve Jobs has a lot to answer for. And also, you know, if we look at Facebook and all of those other screens that have invaded our lives, it overwhelms our cognitive and our emotional resources. And I always go back to data. The only way to self-assess is to start to gather your data. I gave an example of Dan. Dan measured how many hours he was spending on this game to see if, in fact, he did have a problem. You know, when you have those interventions, interventions are simply like this idea of, you know, people gathering to say, hey, you have to have a problem, and you have a problem, and we're going to try and get you help, and we just want to bring it to your self-attention. Absolutely. But, you know, a really effective intervention is when you have data to support that. So take a moment to reflect on your recent habits and your behaviors. For example, are you spending excessive amounts of time on your screen? How many hours are you spending scrolling on Instagram? So if I look around me and I'm in a line for a grocery store, say, for example, or I don't know where else are you in a line for coffee or for anything,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Are you scrolling?
Yeah.
And I love seeing mothers walk their babies on the phone. I'm like,
oh
really?
Oh, my gosh.
What are you doing? The time you have is so precious. And you're draining yourself. Do you really want to be drained that mentally or, you know, mental or experience a mental fog? Because the more you're using that phone, the more other people are taking away your energy. Like, just think about it this way. You start your day with a full cup of water. Mm-hmm. And the more time that you spend on that screen, the more the water depletes. And what happens to your body if it doesn't have any water?
It's empty.
Like, right.
You can't, yeah, you're, you have no energy.
Well, you can die.
Yeah.
Yep, like, that's it. Water is essential to your body. But it's just like breaks are essential to your brain. And that's why we created micro breaks, because so many people won't leave their phone. So they're 1 to 2 minutes long.
Hmm. That's honestly incredible, valuable information, Dr. Mary. Recognizing the sign of digital exhaustion is the first step towards finding solutions and restoring balance in our mm-hmm. in our lives. And I love how you explained that so clearly. And the analogy you used with the water in the cup, I love that, because you can see that.
Yeah.
I personally feel that all the time. So I love that.
Well, I also see people, you know, all the time flicking through their phone while they're driving. I was hit by someone who was allegedly, because we haven't finished the lawsuit, on their phone while they were driving. And what was so important about Facebook at that point that you're, you know, you had to admit in court that it was your fault that you hit me. So now, you know, your whole life has changed because you are on your phone looking at Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Is it worth it? And we have stopped evaluating those things. Like, all we do is scroll and scroll and scroll. And it, the damage it's doing to our brain. Look at the children that were born in the digital age. Gen Zs, specifically teenagers that had to go through COVID during the time when they should have been as social as we all were. They're experiencing higher levels of depression, higher levels of anxiety, higher levels of insomnia. They're not eating right. They're not healthy. That's what constant phone time does to you. Get off it. It's time to start making informed decisions about screen time. I write about it in my book, how it destroys lives. And I use actual case histories. I don't use a ton of data. I don't use a ton of neuroscience. I tell the story of my brother and I, of the Johnsons, of Dan, of a business person who believed it was really important to suck people in. And the more he could use them, the more he could make money.
Wow. That is... It just shows how much people don't really care about our well-being. But, you know, with this story, with your story, it can really give us a solution to helping us and present a way for us to have a way out. And speaking of solutions, our next segment will explore practical strategies for combating digital exhaustion across different generations. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Richardson. After this next break, we'll be diving into the unique challenges for your generation to help you solve the problem. Over to you, Devin. Okay. Well, let's take our own break then. Let's don't just grab a glass of water right now, because we were just talking about water, and even just giving your hands a stretch. Like, this is what a micro break is. Let me do a quick example of a micro break. If you take your hands, and you know how you're always on your phone, put them flat, just put them flat in the air. Then stretch your fingers as far apart as you can and close them. As far apart as you can and close them. Then take your arms, if you're not driving, of course, or if you are driving, just put them up a little bit and shrug your shoulders up and let your shoulders down. Shrug your shoulders up and let your shoulders down. And then take a great big breath in for three and out for six. One, two, three, four, five, six. In for three, out for six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Ladies and gentlemen, that was 1 minute, and you already began the process of transient hyperfrontality. Rich, how does your body feel? How do you feel?
Very, very calm. I feel like my heart rate is just slower. Has gone lower and breathing slower. So I love it.
And that's the key to micro breaks. And that's how micro breaks were discovered accidentally in the 80s at Purdue University. Is what they were trying to do was prevent accidents. What they actually found is that micro breaks lower your heart rate and increase the amount of oxygen you take in. So allowing you to breathe into your tummy versus your chest. So today, let's talk a little bit about Gen Z that I was just talking about earlier. Let's talk about Dan's generation and your generation, Richardson. You are what we call digitive natives, and it's really important to for you to establish healthy habits early on. As parents, we failed you. We probably didn't give you the best digital healthy habits because we didn't understand digital healthy habits. There was no guidelines for us. I mean, and that's one of the things that we wrote in the book is digital, you know, digital addiction and how to create some healthy habits. So for you, Rich, I mean, you were asking me about Dan. We could say set screen time limits, but let's look at good to good therapy that we talked about with Mark Howerton a couple of weeks ago, good to good transitions. And we use this a lot in online gambling. We use this in addictions for gaming. Is this good to good? So set some limits. How many good interventions do you want to have a day? And what are you going to give yourself if you do? So Richardson, what's something you love to do that you find you're not doing because you're gaming or you're scrolling too much?
Probably just spending time with my family or friends, or maybe just even with my fiance.
So awesome.
Yep.
When you spend that time, are you on your phone?
Well, trying to avoid it now.
All right. So why don't you give yourself a reward of like $2? Ooh. When you do something right, $2 a day. So $2 a day, right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
What
to
have
me.
I just done? Gamified it. Mm-hmm. And then if you use one micro break a day, add 25 cents to this bank. And what I suggest you do is actually get a glass or a jar and put the money in a glass or a jar. Actually see what it is. When we work with our clients, we gamify in a specific way, which is by we use the number 10. Other people have used the number 5. Other people have used the number 7. In research, 10 has a more significant effect on your brain. So you can go up by increments of 10. So, you know, you could put a dime in, you could put a dollar in. You have to decide your reward. And for every micro break you have, then what you do is give yourself a reward. And for you, it's probably a financial reward. Then when you practice micro breaking, which is kind of a fun new term I just created, you say, okay, I'm going to use one micro break a day. And if I do that, I'm going to give myself $2. And if I do it for a month, then I'm going to give myself $2.10 a day. And then I'm going to use that money at the end of the month to put it towards maybe a new game. Maybe spending money in a game, but it's a good to good. You're taking a good break for a good reason and you're giving yourself a good reward.
I love that. We do have a text. Do you mind if I can read that?
No, go right ahead.
Okay, so it's a lady. Her name is Sarah. She says, I often feel overwhelmed by social media and online schoolwork. What's the best way for someone my age to take a break from digital devices?
Oh, I really, really like that. So if we look at school age, let's just presuppose that this is this is high school. And I know Sarah didn't want to say what she was in. But Sarah, thanks for your text. And I'm grateful that you understand that you need a break. So I would take short breaks within study sessions. When I was studying many, many, many years ago, when I was in your position, I would take short little breaks and rewards for myself. So the rewards could be I had pets, so it was petting my dogs. It was getting a glass of water. It was getting a special tea I had bought myself and hidden from my brothers, because my brothers would take everything of mine. But just, you know, having that tiny break between study sessions allows you to begin to experience transient hyperfrontality. So let me tell you who does this. There's a famous screenwriter. I forget his name now, but he's written, you know, all the big shows. And what he does is he takes a shower when he needs to clear his brain. So, Sarah, you could take a shower, take a shower. You could go for a quick walk. You could, if you can't go outside your house, sit at your window and watch what's happening outside your window. If you're an artist, draw what's outside your window. If words engage you, write what you see outside your window. And just do this for 3 minutes. What you've done is what we just did with our hands, which is giving yourself a break.
I love that. We have another text from John. He said, I often find myself glued to my devices. What are some practical tips for managing digital exhaustion while balancing work and personal life?
So I'm guessing John is a millennial.
Yeah.
And I think if we start talking about millennials, so if we, like, in academia, in my papers, we look at millennials as born between 1980 and 2000. And we look at Gen Z, anybody born in 2000 up. And then people that are cuspers are born plus or minus 5 on either of those years. So you have a little bit of traits of both. So if we look at John, we have to begin for John to establish boundaries. When John grew up, he probably had access to a computer, and the computer was in the family room. And the reason the computer was in the family room is that parents could see what children were doing on the computer. That's a guardrail. It keeps you safe. Think about a highway. A highway always needs guardrails. And so for John, he's going to have to start to set specific guardrails. With work from home, we don't have that anymore. 30 years ago, when you went to work, you worked 9 to 5. You went to a physical location. And when you left, you couldn't take this great big computer with you. So when you went home, you were actually at home. So, John, I want you to start to think a little bit like a throwback time and start setting specific times for work and for personal activities. So when you're at work, you're at work. And if you have to work late, you have to work late. But make sure you're giving yourself, again, gamification, a reward for working late. And then practice your time management. Millennials are brilliant at time management. Now put it for your devices. Maybe put your breaks into your calendar to remind you to have a break. John, you need to engage in some self-care, because my concern is if you're spending that much time at work and you already are experiencing digital exhaustion, very soon it's going to start to affect your physical and mental self. I hope that helps.
Thank you so much, John, for your question. Yeah. Dr. Mary, Those are excellent tips for millennials. Now, let's move on to Generation X, because that's the interesting generation. Can you share some strategies for managing digital exhaustion for this group?
I will. So the one thing about Gen X is, and any Gen Xers listen will realize this, is we're very visual. Often we're called the television or the CNN generation, because when we came of age, we were born between 1960 and 1980. CNN was a thing. Television was a thing. Like, you'll probably remember watching Disney as you had dinner on Sunday nights, and Walt Disney introduced the show. Like, it was a big deal. But TV was so important. We had TV dinners. So one of the things, one of the problems with social media, with Facebook, with all of those things for Gen X is that visual addiction. You know, oftentimes it's food porn. You are so into your food, or it's exercise porn. Like, I'm going to show you how great I am or what I'm doing. And, you know, and then it's work. Gen X is the smallest generation. They were the first generation to be born into a recession. So relaxation isn't something they do naturally. So I'm not going to tell you to sit and yell and do all those other things. What I am going to do is tell you to set boundaries. You understand rules better than most people, Gen Xers. So set boundaries on your device. Create alarms for your device. And when that alarm goes off, be like Pavlov's dog. Do a stretch. Do something. Look at something beautiful. Look at your favorite pictures on even on your phone if you have to go down that. We created beautiful visuals on My Stride specifically for Gen X to listen to binaural beats. And, you know, if you go to mystride.co, you'll see all of that happening. When we deal with Gen X gamblers, we use a very different type of game for them that uses both their visual. And for the older Gen X, their auditory sense, so they can use those two. For example, when we use millennials, we tend to use kinesthetic more, kinesthetic and visual, just like we would use for Gen Z. But in Gen Z's case, we'd add another element on just because they've been online for so long. Rich, does that help?
Yeah, that helps a lot. And I love that. I love that so much. Especially that's a generation that I feel like is not really talked a lot about. But
they're very small by birth cohort. So, you know, the big joke is Gen X's aren't important because they're almost, you know, invisible. And pretty soon they'll be retiring out of the workforce, and they're not getting gold watches or anything like that. It's just like, oh, that was my last day. Now what?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But to our guests and our listeners, please join the conversation. You can give us a call or continue to text us at 773-763-9278. We also do have another text from Emily. So let me read what Emily says. So, Dr. Mary, as a baby boomer navigating the digital landscape, sometimes I feel overwhelmed by technology. How can I find a balance between staying connected and avoiding digital exhaustion?
Emily, that is a great question. And a lot of people say that boomers born, you know, pre-1960, roughly 1940 to 1960, aren't on digital. That's 100% wrong. They're using digital so much and they're enjoying it, but sometimes they can get caught up in it. For example, a fellow that I didn't put in the book, but I wanted to put in the book, was obsessed with checking news media. He could read news media all freaking day. And his news feeds feed his need to understand what's going on and feed his view. And that really affects him and how he interacts with people and what he does. And so one of the things that you begin to have to do as boomers, which you're very good at doing, is learning how to balance your digital consumption. And that may sound odd, but if you start thinking about digital anxiety, with the way that social medias work and all of the platforms work, they feed you what their algorithm says you like, so what you engage in longer. And this is true for every generation. But for baby boomers, because you were taught debate, you begin to understand that the guardrails you need is to look for that, look for that alternate voice. So if you're reading what you like to read and it's feeding your need, now take 10 minutes out and look for an alternative voice. And then take a micro break and think about what you read. So your challenge is a little different. What do you think? Does that begin to make sense, Rich?
Yeah, I think
that helps, Emily.
Yeah, thank you so much for the fantastic tips. I feel like that also, as you said, it applies to all generations too, and that's such a great tip, because as when we go on our social media or see these feeds, we're seeing everything that we want to see, but we are never really seeing the other side. So I love that, using micro breaks to give us a pause to understand and look outside to get more info about the other side and just gaining overall. I love that.
You know, I think that Americans are very, very, very independent, and they're strong, and, you know, all of these wonderful things. And the thing that's always amazed me, and particularly with my brother, is they don't realize how they're being manipulated by these social platforms and people running the platforms and the news media. So I encourage everybody just to take a step back, take a micro break, and really think about how people are leading you down the path they want you to go versus the path you know you want to go. I know that's a bit controversial, but, you know, it's something that each generation needs to think about. Like, are you really reading what you need to read, or are you reading and scrolling on what other people want you to read? Like, take control of yourself, take control of your digital. And the only way to do that is to clear your prefrontal cortex.
Dr. Mary, thank you. It's kind of clear that digital exhaustion can have far-reaching consequences beyond the individual well-being. How does it affect brands, and what can businesses do to address these issues?
Before we go there, why don't we ask Devin to take a quick break? Let's play a quick commercial. And when we come back, let's talk about brands, because this is something not a lot of people talk about: brands, generation, and digital exhaustion. Devin, over to you, my friend.
Are you ready to hit your stride and to turn those frowns upside down? Say hello to mystride.co, your ultimate companion for conquering bad moods and transforming them into pure positivity. Imagine receiving uplifting emails 3 times a week, filled with personalized tips and tricks to help you navigate through life's ups and downs. With mystride.co, we've mastered the art of gamifying your mood, turning those gloomy days into opportunities for growth and joy. Harness the power of our magical formula, designed to guide you towards a brighter, more fulfilling day. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1. Open your inbox and discover your personalized mystride.co email, packed with practical strategies to overcome any obstacle in your path. Step 2. Embrace the challenge and put our tips into action, turning each setback into a stepping stone towards success. Step 3. Watch in amazement as your mood shifts and those clouds of negativity are replaced with rays of sunshine and optimism. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who are already experiencing the transformative power of mystride.co. So why wait? Sign up now and take the first step towards a happier, more resilient you. Visit mystride.co now and start your journey towards greatness.
Welcome back, everyone. And I just want to remind you with mystride.co that it's free for 30 days. So please use it. And I'm also going to start to encourage brands to start using it. Because when people are exhausted, do you understand how that's going to affect your sales? If you're a business person or a salesperson out there watching this, understand that 8 out of 10 people, as we identified in the research and the American Psychological Association has identified, 8 out of 10 people experience digital exhaustion. And I'm translating that into digital anxiety. Excuse me. And what we begin to look at is the heightened anxiety and stress that affect individuals of all ages. And so we developed another product, and we talk a little bit about this, and we're going to be talking about this more in May, but it's a gambling product called My Stride Positive Play. And it's based in the principles of positive psychology and proactive mental health versus reactive mental health. And brands, you need to begin to understand the implications of proactive versus reactive for your sales cycle.
So back to the question I had, what are the consequences and how does it affect brands, and what can businesses do to address this issue? Because it's such a big issue, as you pointed out.
Thank you, Rich. And you're right. It's a huge issue. So let me ask everybody listening on the line a quick question. Do you like bots? Do you like when you call and get a recorded voice that forces you to use the prompts they want you to use? Where it's not a person, it's this freaking machine. And then it says, tell me how I can help you. And you tell them, and they say, I don't understand. And it goes through it again and again and again and again. Do you like that?
Hate it. Absolutely hate it.
Right. So brands, how many people really like that? Just a quick question. You know, the answer is maybe 1 out of 10. Maybe 1 out of 10 doesn't get angry. Maybe 2 out of 10. So your customer journey is starting off in a negative foot. Is that what you want? Now let's look at bots. You know, when it says, oh, interact with us on our website. And what happens? You get this ridiculous bot that takes you to their freaking Q&A page. Anybody like at all has already been to the Q&A page. Why are you taking me back to the Q&A page? I need to talk to someone. Already you're experiencing digital anxiety. So now it's going to impact your customer behavior. Think about this. Your customer's already angry. Eventually they're going to get to an overworked, overexhausted customer care person. And that customer care person has already dealt with 10 people today that are so angry by this bot that they're like, do they really care about helping this customer? I don't know. Maybe if their paycheck depends on it, which sucks. I'm just going to say that on air. Mm-hmm. So now you have two people in a relationship that are experiencing digital anxiety. How's that going to lurk for your brand perception and your brand loyalty? When your customers are offered another opportunity to go to another product, after an experience like this, how soon do you think they're going to leave? Immediately. We experienced that here in Canada with a cell phone company called Rogers and another cell phone company called Bell. Rogers screwed everything up. Trying to get to their help people was awful. They didn't take ownership of the problem. They blamed everybody else for the problem. They sound like a politician, don't they? And then, you know, they said, suck it up, buttercup. We're going to give you, a month of free stuff or something like that for a huge. Well, guess what? Everybody left, and that affected their bottom line, and that affected their share price, and that affected their stock price. Airlines, this is going to happen to you. Banks, this is going to happen to you. Doctors, physicians, hospitals, this is going to happen to you. If you don't prioritize your consumers' well-being in this age of digital anxiety, you are failing to offer a great customer journey. The key is to mitigate digital exhaustion. I know that's a long answer, Richardson, but I'm really passionate about this.
And I love it. I feel like you just kind of hit it point on. And thank you so much. Like, I find that so fascinating. It's evident that addressing digital exhaustion is not only a personal responsibility, but also like a business imperative, you know. Thank you for shedding the light on this important topic. I love that.
Well, let's talk about it further, Richardson. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the lack of customer loyalty and trust.
Let's do it.
Like, do what, you know, and everybody says use advertising, do this, like average, like I don't know how many requests a day I get where LinkedIn tells me they're going to give me $10 off for a LinkedIn ad, or you know, Facebook says, oh, we'll promote this post for $1, you know, something like that. Do you really trust when you see something like that, that they're doing something that will benefit you?
Oh, heck no.
Right. Way. So how much do you buy of brands you trust, you don't trust?
Mm-hmm.
So your Mercedes-Benz experienced this about 20 years ago, and there's an excellent, excellent book on it called Driven to Succeed. And the whole thing, and the interesting aspect of this, Rich, was that they didn't think about their customer journey. It was like, you know what? We're Mercedes. You're going to buy our car. Life is good, and it doesn't really matter. And then all of a sudden, BMW started selling in the markets. Lexus started selling in the markets. And they upped the ante. Like, Lexus talked about luxury. They talked about their clock. I remember Infiniti talked about their fancy-ass clock. That was their big ad 30 years ago. And all of a sudden, Mercedes-Benz, the Mercedes-Benz that had been the luxury car forever. It's even mentioned in history in Indiana Jones as a joke. Lost market share. And we can't afford to lose market share in today's businesses. And so what began to happen is they had to look at their customer journey. Gambling companies are beginning to have to do this now. Gaming companies are beginning to have to do this now. Because for so long on digital, we haven't had to care about the customer journey because there hasn't been that many other options. I mean, think about that. And then look at how you're treated. So what happened with X when they just said willy-nilly, oh, by the way, we're going to charge you to be verified. How many people did it? Why did they do it? How did they feel about it? What kind of press did X get? Did it affect their share price? Yes, 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 and yes. So we really have to start thinking about this digital anxiety in the business offerings. And then, you know, people have said to me, oh, well, then we'll just offer meditation between, you know, between our games, or do this or do that. None of it works unless you understand the neuroscience behind it. And understanding the neuroscience also is understanding how each generation perceives it. You and I perceive a problem differently, Rich, don't we?
Yes, very differently.
So we have a different way of getting solutions. Why aren't you using that information? And I talk about it all the time in your customer journey. So why aren't you using generational information, generational insights, and generational anxiety triggers, and avoid them in creating and mitigating digital exhaustion and reducing digital anxiety? You know, and I know that you're just learning this in school, and hopefully when you go on to your master's and do all this other work, you'll carry this research forward. But what we need to do, and I think that, you know, we can probably end on this note, but I'd really like your thoughts on what do you think a healthier digital ecosystem will do for our population?
Honestly, to make it quick and short, I think it will make us thrive. Mm-hmm. Not only consume more or purchase more, and if we're looking at the business aspect, but thrive also mentally and personally too. So it will all it'll all benefit us, right?
I agree. And it's time for us to wrap up. And before we do, I want to remind you, I mean, I think you can tell after this show that I'm really passionate about helping people prioritize their digital wellness and to seek support if they need it. Also listen to my friend Pam McIlvaine's Inclusive Voice radio show that was just before this. We spent a whole hour on it as well. It's okay to take breaks. It's okay to disconnect. It's okay to prioritize your mental health in a hyper-connected world.
Absolutely, Dr. Mary. And for those looking for additional resources and support, be sure to check out Dr. Mary's book, Digital Addiction: What Is It and How One Sister and Brother Dealt with It. It's available now on Amazon. It's a valuable resource for understanding and overcoming digital exhaustion.
Thank you, everybody. That's all the time we have for today. I wish you well. Take good care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
The preceding program, Chicago's Weekend Wake-Up Call, was sponsored by the Digital Wellness Center and, to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.